When you were a kid, what did you like about science?
Hey, Charlie. Well, I tell you what, the thing about science when I was a kid, science sounded like a course, you know, something I had to study in school. It turns out that science is all about being curious. I was very curious. I remain very curious. And that's the beginning of exploration. That's the beginning of a lot of excitement about finding out the world, about the world around us. So I began to realize that science has a lot to do with discovering things. And if I was curious about it, then if you could think of a question and a way to answer that question about the world around us, then in a way, I was kind of being a little bit of a scientist. So it was very much being curious and loving discovery and exploration is very much a part of science. And I didn't know that at the time, but that's what I was doing.
Did your parents take you to any science museums?
I'm trying to think. You know, I grew up in a little town, Statesville, North Carolina, and at the time they did not have a science museum there. What we did have was some a farm that I would go to and just explore out there. I'd go off on hiking trips into the woods, that sort of thing. When I moved later on to Atlanta, Georgia, and there was a science museum there, and that was incredibly exciting. I remember the first ones, and I went to a medical museum once also, and those two were astounding. I still remember those visits very well because for the first time, someone was deliberately trying to show me things that I'd been curious about, or in some cases didn't even know I was curious about, but I discovered that I was interested in when I went to those museums. So those are very much an important part of my interest in science.
How'd you become a space doctor?
How did I become a space doctor? Well, I started off by being a doctor. When they take astronauts, they want astronauts to be good at something. And today it's still technical stuff, and being a doctor is kind of a technical thing. So I became a doctor actually because I wanted to be an astronaut. But as it turned out, I fell in love with medicine. And so I became an emergency doctor, went through all the training, and I was practicing in big cities around the country, in Seattle and Houston and New Orleans, Atlanta. And so learning a lot about emergency medicine. And that was my job until suddenly I got word that NASA was looking for doctors to help take care of astronauts. And so I became a flight surgeon working for NASA. And while I was there, that's when I said, you know, I used to love space. I've always thought about how cool it would be to be an astronaut, so I'm going to put in my application. And so I became a doctor first, and then I got to be an astronaut on top of that.
How have you used your skills as a flight surgeon on a space mission?
Well, fortunately, you know, a flight surgeon is a doctor that takes care of the illnesses and the injuries of pilots and astronauts. So fortunately, I did not have to use those skills too much. But, you know, living in space is pretty hard on the body. Not only is there zero gravity that can make us feel kind of sick when we get up there, but when we, you know, come back from space, we can feel kind of sick. Just floating around, we can bang our head on a hatch or cut a finger on, you know, even a little paper cut or something. But there's an opportunity to have some pretty serious injuries up there, which fortunately we have not had. So fortunately, I did not have to use all of my skills. There have been just in the past over many space flights since we've been doing this for a long time, people have had a dislocated finger. There have been near heart attacks. There have been some respiratory problems, dental problems. Sometimes, you know, having a toothache, it really hurts where you're far away from a dentist. So sometimes the medical person on board has to, you know, take care of a toothache. But any number of things can come up. And so we want to be really ready. So I was the one of the crew medical officers on our flight, and there's always two of them. It doesn't necessarily have to be a doctor, but I guess they think if there's a doctor that's the medical officer, then that's just a bonus. But fortunately, everybody was happy and healthy during our flight, and I didn't have to use my skills too much.
What was your favorite moment in space?
My favorite moment in space? Boy, that is hard to say. And I say that because there are several things that are so special and so unique. There's just no way to say one is better than the other. First of all, there's the launch. And imagine how excited you are on Christmas morning. Well, that's how excited we are sitting on the launch pad, getting ready to launch after 2.5 years of training, and just can't wait to see what it's like to feel the rocket light under us. And then to feel zero gravity as soon as we get there and to see the Earth from space. while I'm in space, three things, well, really four things that were my favorite. Looking out the window at the Earth, just breathtaking, and it's hard to pull yourself away from the window. Working every day in zero gravity. Even going to get a drink of water is a lot of fun, working in zero gravity. It's very special. Even brushing my teeth and watching the water and my toothbrush float around are a lot of fun. Working with my crewmates, that's probably one of the special things. And one of the things I'll remember best is the great people I got to work with. Even looking out the window with somebody is so much more special because you can talk about it and share those experiences. And then finally, you know, we talked about science and discovery, talking to the scientists on the ground every day, working 8 to 14 hours a day in a laboratory, discovering new things and getting to focus and work really hard on the experiments. That was very, very special. And it's a very rare opportunity that humans get to work that hard and be dedicated for that long to doing experiments like that. So that was a lot of fun.
Do you have any space projects that you were proud of?
You know, I'm kind of partial to the doctor stuff, so I was very proud of the ultrasound experiments we got to do up there. Ultrasound is something that everybody's probably familiar with on the ground. We do use ultrasound all the time. But we used ultrasound in ways that current medical care does not allow for. I was looking at my brain, my eye, the bones in my hand, all the organs of my body in zero gravity, which people hadn't seen before, seeing all the organs floating around, seeing if we thought somebody had appendicitis, could we find their appendix in space? Because it's not going to be in the place that it normally is on the ground. It's probably floating around somewhere in the belly somewhere. So we did a lot of those little investigations. We looked at my spinal cord, and that's never been done in space before. It's not usually done in hospitals on the ground. But the fact is, in space, we don't have big CAT scanners and MRI machines, and there are a lot of places on Earth that don't have those things either. So we felt like ultrasound is a great way to look at the inside of the body, and it turns out it's really good. And that information might actually be useful for a lot of countries that can't afford or don't have all the big, fancy, expensive MRI machines and CAT scanners. So for all that those reasons, that was one of my favorites. We do a lot of fluid studies up there, and I love watching fluids float around and mix and create bubbles. A lot of scientists are interested in that because it helps them create new materials. It helps them to learn how fluids flow, not only in space, but in tiny little places like you may have heard of a laboratory on a chip. So somebody can get a tiny drop of blood, put it on something no bigger than a CD or a DVD, and put it in a little machine no bigger than a laptop and do a complete blood analysis on that. The things we learn in space are actually very close to the way blood behaves in those tiny little amounts in those little laboratories. So it improves the design of those machines. So that was another one of my favorites. Boy, I could keep going. We did a lot of experiments looking out the window at the Earth. And it was very important work. Sometimes there would be a big flood somewhere. And I remember with my commander, Chris Hadfield, he and I were looking out the window taking pictures of Tanzania and Africa. They just had a huge flood, and we were able to take pictures of the river that had flooded, the big storm that had just passed over, that we could see all the areas where people were being, thousands and tens of thousands of people were being displaced. And so we were able to provide information that perhaps was able to go towards relief efforts for those people, but also to better understand what kind of a storm is going to affect people so they can warn them the next time around. We were doing a lot of those Earth observations, those types of things, volcanoes erupting, big changes in sea levels, in lakes, that sort of thing. So and looking out at the Earth is always a joy. So that was another one of my favorites. But the fact is, we were working about 14 hours a day, studying and working on the experiments. And I could just keep on going, but those were some of my favorites that I can think of.
Have you ever done a spacewalk?
Yeah, Charlie, I've done four. I was about to say I've done three, but we did one on our space station flight also. I did three on my space shuttle flight in 2009. That flight was to help finish the construction of the space station. So my job was to go outside with a crewmate and help relocate lots of big machines that the space station needs to keep running and put them on the outside. There are spares that are on the outside of the space station because we knew the space shuttle was going to go away. So we wanted to put on the outside everything we'd need in case anything broke. So I helped with that a lot. I did an emergency spacewalk on this station flight just 4 days before we were supposed to come home. I had even already packed all of my spacesuit gloves, which I brought up with me. I'd even packed them to come home. And 4 days before we were supposed to come home, we saw something out the window. We didn't know what it was. The Russian, one of our Russian crewmates said, "Hey, look, there's fireworks out going on the outside of the space station." So we flew over to the window, looked outside, and sure enough, there's all these little sparkly things out at the end of the truss, about 50 yards away from us. And we took pictures and videos and told the ground, and they were looking at their information on the ground and found out that some of our coolant was leaking. There was a hole in the coolant system leaking outside. So the space station had a chance that it could overheat pretty fast. So what we had to do was get ready for a spacewalk. We had about a day and a half to get ready for a spacewalk to go outside and fix that leak. My spacewalking partner, Chris Cassidy, and I got into the airlock. And in a day and a half, we were outside doing our spacewalk, and we were able to replace the part that had a leak in it, and it turns out that it worked, that the leak went away. So that one was special to me also because usually the ground and the crew takes about 9 days to get ready for a spacewalk, and we were able to do it in a day and a half, mostly because the ground did an enormous amount of work. I mean, they were having meetings and all night long. They just kept on working. There were people sleeping on meeting tables and camping out in their offices to get everything done to get us ready to go out as fast as we could. So it was a real challenge for Mission Control and a real challenge for all of us to do that spacewalk so fast. And I was really proud to be a part of that.
Do you think NASA will send people to the moon again?
Well, I think people are going to go back to the moon. I hope it's America, and I hope it's NASA, if that's the right way to do it. Certainly the moon's right there. We see it every day. We've been there before, haven't been back since I think it was 1974. So I think a lot of people would like to go back. So I think it'll happen someday. Right now, it's a consideration, but we're looking at going to grab maybe an asteroid or start getting ready to go back to Mars. So it's one of those really cool destinations that, Charlie, who knows? Maybe you'll be on that mission to be the first person to step on the moon again since Gene Cernan left the moon in about 1974.
Would you like to go?
I would love to go to the moon. As an astronaut, as a pilot and an astronaut, I love to fly, and I love to fly in space. I would love to go to the moon, especially because I got to see, I remember when I was 9 years old watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon. And I would love to see what I've wondered about and the wonder that I've had about that event my entire life, almost. I would love to see that again. There's a lot of great things to do on the moon. On the other side of the moon that we never see from Earth, when that's away from the sun, that'd be a wonderful way to do astronomy. Turns out you can build really great things with lunar dust and with lunar rocks. We could probably build a little habitat or even a colony up there. Maybe we could use the moon to grab solar energy and send it to the Earth to help us with our energy problems. But there's all kinds of stuff we could do that would be really useful on the moon, not to mention just to learn more about our solar system and the way the moon and the Earth work together. It would be a lot of fun, incredibly exciting to be able to go back.
How about Mars?
Well, Mars is a lot farther away, isn't it? It could take... it'd take at least 6 months to get up there with the kind of engines that we have right now. I would love to go to Mars. Somebody that decides to go to Mars or is chosen for it would have to be ready to be gone from the Earth for a year, year and a half, maybe 2 or 3 years, because it'd take a while to get there. And then once you're there, you want to make good use of your time. There's a lot of reasons to go there. One of the robotic probes does in its lifetime, a geologist and a couple of people could do very quickly if they were actually there, and they could make decisions very quickly living and working on Mars. So the robots are doing wonderful work and are showing us how cool a place Mars would be to get to. So we could learn about water on Mars. We could learn about maybe there was life on Mars, and therefore learn so much about our Earth. Why is the Earth different from Mars? What happened to Mars that it got its thick carbon dioxide atmosphere? While it had water before, we know it had water before now, but it changed. Could that happen to the Earth? We don't know. But going to Mars could teach us a lot about that. So I think it would be really cool to go to Mars. Now, one thing that astronauts talk about a lot is, you know, space station flight's about 6 months. We're floating around in space for about the time it would take to go to Mars. And we come back and we know that we can get up and get out of our spaceship and that we can do some work. So we like to think that in a way we did a Mars trip. But in a lot of ways, what we've done is to show that it can be done, because we can put people in a spaceship. We can live in zero gravity for that amount of time. We can do good work floating around zero gravity, and we can come out. We can land a spaceship and come out and be useful. So in some ways, we're doing a Mars trip every time we send people up. We're certainly learning a lot that we need to know about going to Mars when we do our space station flights.
If I want to be an astronaut, what would I need to do?
Well, Charlie, what you would need to do is start right now. And I think you're probably doing this. And I always tell anybody this. If you want to be an astronaut, start being an astronaut right now. Because I've got to fly in space a couple of times, and that's a wonderful thing. Incredibly exciting. It's worth working for. But being an astronaut really means learning a lot of stuff, getting really good at things, because you have to train for a long time, but also helping other people fly in space. My main job as an astronaut has been to support other astronauts while they're in space, because it's a complicated thing and every astronaut needs that much help to do their work well and to stay safe. So every once in a while, though, when you're an astronaut, you get to go yourself. You get assigned. So what you can do today, and what anyone can do, is to get really good at something, particularly a technical field right now, science, technology, engineering, math, medicine, and do the best you can at it. Along the way, you'll fall in love with something, and then do that as much as you can, because you'll be really good at it if you fall in love with it. And there's nothing better than to love your work and to love discovery. So I would definitely recommend that you explore all that you can in school and do your best in that, and then you'll have all the options. You'll find out everything you need to know. And so that's what you can do right now to become an astronaut. You know, taking care of yourself is important too. You need to be healthy to be an astronaut. And learning how, when you get a little bit older and get into high school, putting yourself in a position where you have to make decisions. So trying to lead projects or to get projects going, that's all very important, because astronauts have to make some big decisions a lot of times too, whether they're flying in an airplane or working on an experiment. And so showing that you can take charge of something and make important decisions, that helps too.
Thank you, Dr. Marshburn.
Charlie, you did a fantastic job. I'd say you're well on your way to being an astronaut. Just keep that excitement and sense of discovery, and really enjoy talking to you.
Me too.
Very good to meet you, Charlie.
Nice to meet you too.